Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week. Through the lens of original thought, it's good to have everybody back here as we plod through the dog days of summer. I don't know about the rest of the country, but we're thinking everything could burst into flames at any moment. Pretty much the entire southwest of the United States. The whole thing could just burst into flames at any moment, and we certainly hope it does not, and we're glad to have you with us as we move right into the news, I suppose. Let's go east of the Mississippi. We'll go to New York State. That's right, it's not just a city, it's a whole state. Ask Kathy Hochul. She knows that it's a whole state. They've passed a new law in New York State. This new law will require retailers with 500 or more employees to install panic buttons. Panic buttons, I said. What? Why panic, you might say? What's all the panic about? These are panic, but you think maybe this is for shoppers when they see the price of a dozen eggs? They can hit the button at the... No, that's not what it's for. It's not about the price of eggs. It's about mass murder. That's right. Panic buttons, a law for panic buttons, was passed over concerns over high-profile shootings and low-profile shootings. Just shootings in general. People don't like shootings at the grocery store, it turns out. And it's got people a bit on edge. And so Governor Kathy Hochul, she thinks, along with the majority of the legislators in Albany, they think the solution is to install a panic button that will automatically call 911 when gunfire erupts there at the grocery store. Now, the law has been duly passed and signed by the governor, and it will take effect on January 1st, 2027, which... So until then, you're on your own. You might want to just get yourself a sidearm in the meantime until the panic buttons are installed. So let's see. There are other provisions in the law, by the way, because this is only for companies with, retailers with 500 or more employees. If you work for a smaller retailer, the state is going to force your company to, quote, develop and implement programs to prevent workplace violence, unquote. And the other provisions will require the Department of Labor, which is a department there within the state government there in Albany, the Department of Labor will be forced to, quote, produce a model workplace violence prevention training program, unquote, which is just 7 or 8 words strung together that mean virtually nothing. But hundreds of people will make their living for the next few years fleshing out what those, how many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, what those 8 or 9 words mean. We're going to have a model workplace violence prevention training program. So all this follows shootings at a West Hampstead, New York Stop and Shop and that the Tops in Buffalo. A survey of union members found that a majority of union members regularly worry about the possibility of a mass shooting in their workplace. And it turns out that's reflective of a majority of everyone, actually. Everyone who has a workplace regularly worries about the possibility of a shooting at the workplace because, well, they happen fairly regularly. Uh-huh. And instead of passing a law for panic buttons, and how many panic buttons and where? They pretty much have to be everywhere. Maybe they'll be like the help, I've fallen and I can't get up. You hang it around your neck there. As soon as you get to work, you put the panic button around your neck. And then unless you're shot right through the panic button, then you'll be able to call 911 automatically by squashing the big red panic button. So instead of panic buttons, instead of programs to prevent workplace violence and model workplace violence prevention training programs, instead of all that, the governor should be mandated to develop and implement a program to actually prevent workplace violence. That's, oh, wait, she already is mandated. That's right. It's actually in her oath of office. And every fundamental principle of government for approximately 4,000 years includes a mandate to prevent workplace violence. It's called a justice system, which New York used to have, but they have discarded it in favor of, well, in favor of workplace violence prevention programs, plans, models to prevent. If you needed one more reason to flee the state of New York to virtually anywhere, I mean, except maybe New Mexico, but almost anywhere.
Why New Mexico?
Well, because New Mexico is dreadful, just dreadful. And it's run by a bunch of communists as well. Well, where is not run by a bunch of communists? I'll get back to you on that. It's possible Hungary, possibly. Parts of it. Maybe. And maybe Ecuador. Is it Ecuador?
No.
I can't remember where the guy is. Where's MS-13 from?
Yeah. It's a
recent. Yeah, Bukele, maybe. He might not be a communist, but pretty much the rest. In America, there's not a state to flee to. So you just have to go and cross over the East River, get, and then on the other side of New York City, just jump into the Atlantic Ocean. That's your only hope. It's right down the Hudson out to, it's your only hope in New York. It's just very sad. Meanwhile, we have a mass shooting at a high school, of course. Why? Because school started. That's why. And this is America. And so we have a report from A.R.W. Hawkins over at Breitbart. He is the Second Amendment reporter, the designated Second Amendment reporter. He's a firearms expert, I do believe. At least he writes an awful lot about the Second Amendment. He reports that the father of the 14-year-old Appalachian High School attack suspect has been arrested. A suspect? Really? Do we still have to call the kid a suspect at this point? Okay, I mean, I'll play along, I suppose. Well, his father's been arrested and charged with manslaughter and murder. 54-year-old, I don't want to name even the father. I don't want to name any of these people. Anyway, he's a 54-year-old average American. And he allegedly gave the AR-15 style rifle to his son as a gift for Christmas last year. That's right. And everyone's outraged, and everyone's absolutely apoplectic that a father would give his son a semi-automatic rifle for Christmas. That violates the Christmas spirit of good cheer and all that. They say the charges against the father stem from the father knowingly allowing his son to possess a weapon. And I'm not sure. It wasn't against the law for a 14-year-old or a 13-year-old to own a rifle when I was 13. I don't think, although I don't know that we paid all that much attention to what the law was about this or that about a rifle. I mean, there was a time when a father giving his son a rifle for Christmas was one of the greatest things ever. In fact, most of us, when we were 13, we were just hoping to get a rifle for Christmas. That would have been better than a model train. Well, no longer. So no longer is it a good thing for a father to give his son a semi-automatic rifle for Christmas. And that's a bad place to be, folks. It's a very bad place to be. Breitbart News reported that the 14-year-old attacker was stopped by a good guy with a gun. And so that's because the hacks, the urinalists at Breitbart, they're programmed to always go after the, I don't know what you call it, the pro-gun aspect of every story like this. Because they're, it may be who bankrolls them. It may be that they're bankrolled by somebody who's really into guns. I don't know. But the good guy with a gun, just so you know, in case you're thinking maybe to send your kids back into the government schools or send your kids to the government schools. By the way, this is reason number 1,244 to get your kid out of the government schools. Once again, he may be shot and killed at school. Although I believe that was reason number 666 when Bob Enyart and I started the list 25 years ago. So I believe that the 666 was right after Columbine, was that your child may be shot and killed at school. But the reasons just keep piling up. And so the good guy with a gun that Breitbart reports on, that's the armed man necessary now at the deep state school in order for parents to feel comfortable about dropping their kids off there. And I would just say to you parents, the fact that armed men are needed at the school in the absence of a war is a red flag. You shouldn't need an armed man at the school where you're dropping off your innocent child. That's a red flag. Get your kids out. Don't drop your kid off there thinking that a good guy with a gun makes everything okay. A good guy with a gun at the school is a bad thing. I know that it's serviceable. I know that it serves a purpose in that he can gun down the killer before he kills the next kid. Yes. There is some utilitarian function to having an armed man at the school. I'm just saying philosophically, you should stop when you see the armed man at the school, turn the other way, and flee. That's all. Okay. So that is the latest bloodshed mass murder at the schools. And the school year's just getting started. But from there, we'll go to the election. The election, which is, of course, big news. And so let's go to the ballots. What's up the ballot? What's down the ballot coming up in 2024? Well, murder is officially on the ballot in 10 states in November. Well, Breitbart reports that it's abortion that's officially on the ballot. We call it what it is. It's child killing. It's murder. And 10 states want to legalize murder, codify it, make sure that no one can ever make it against the law again. That's right. Proposed constitutional amendments in 10 states would codify the right to kill unborn babies. That's right. Throughout pregnancy, though, they add that. The right to kill unborn babies throughout pregnancy, because Breitbart, whoever bankrolls Breitbart, they're also child-killing regulators. They think we should have some sensible limitations on the murder of innocent people, just in case I need to kill someone. So, I mean, I'm against murder generally, but unless I need to kill someone, and then I'd like it to be reasonably restricted against other people, but not necessarily me if I find myself in a situation where I need it. So I'm speaking as the bankroller in general there at Breitbart. Me personally, I want all murder to be illegal at all times for all people. I can't believe you have to say it that way. You should just say murder is a crime. That's all. Murder should be illegal, but now there's caveats. So the real unreasonable people, those are the people who want to kill unborn babies throughout pregnancy. And to combat those, Breitbart reports that pro-life organizations warn that these laws that will legalize abortion throughout pregnancy, pro-lifers warn that vague wording will undo protections and parental consent and notification laws, among other protections that the pro-life industry, they've raised and spent millions, maybe tens of millions of dollars to pass all these reasonable restrictions and regulations on the murder of unborn children. And then the pro-lifers, they scratch their heads and they think about it and they say, well, wait a second. So if these people who want to murder children all the way through pregnancy pass their laws, well, then we can send out some fundraising letters and say, hey, we need to stop these. So this looks like a whole nother 50-year project here. The pro-life industry will be fundraising on the idea that it's unreasonable to want to murder children throughout pregnancy, and that they're the level-headed Christian, by the way. They're Christian. They'll use the name of God and Jesus Christ as often as possible in their fundraising efforts for this next 50-year battle. Let's see. The Breitbart Urinalist goes on to report that the Dobbs decision, that's right, this is from the Death After Roe file, by the way. The Dobbs decision, they say, returned the issue of abortion to individual states, which is a big fat lie. The states never had the right to legalize murder. I mean, they started doing it, and then they got nervous about it, and that's why they went to the Supreme Court, because they didn't have the authorization in the Constitution, in any state constitution, to legalize the murder of innocent people. But now they do. Well, at least according to an opinion of the Supreme Court. The Dobbs decision returned the issue of abortion to individual states and their elected representatives, just in case you, changing the nature of the struggle. That's right. This changed the nature of the struggle between the pro-life industry and the abortion industry. Now, Breitbart calls it the pro-life movement because they're naive and stupid. It's the pro-life industry versus the abortion industry, and they both kill kids. Just, they draw the line in different places. And then Breitbart goes on to say that, the reporter at Breitbart goes on to say that every single pro-abortion related ballot measure since the fall of Roe has been successful. You know, and so Breitbart sounds like a marketing arm of the pro-life industry. That's right. We've got all these ballot initiatives. All of them have been successful. We obviously need to fight for the right to, for reasonable restrictions on when these children can be murdered. That's right. This is basically an ad by Breitbart for the pro-life industry, setting the stage for another generational campaign to raise money, spend money, fund vacations and retirement accounts while calling for a well-regulated industry of child killing. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thanks for sticking with us, folks. Speaking of Christians who use the name of God and Jesus Christ, let's go again to Breitbart, where, let's see, did they actually use... Well, they have a story on Steph Curry. Are you guys familiar with Steph Curry? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. Steph Curry, are you familiar? Not familiar? What would you guess he does? Would you have a guess? He's famous, very famous.
What's the name of someone?
Steph Curry. Yeah, no, it's not like a recipe.
I have no idea.
She thought it was some kind of curry. Like, I'm not familiar with. I'm willing to try it, but
yeah.
Anyway, Breitbart reports that Christian Steph Curry is endorsing Kamala Harris in order to protect abortion. That's a headline. It's a clickbait headline because you got Christian, you got Kamala Harris, and you got abortion in one headline. Guarantee you. All the evangelicals can't wait to click through and be outraged at Kamala Harris. She wants to kill unborn children throughout pregnancy. Can you believe her? What a maniac. What? Steph Curry? He's like one of my favorite people. How could he possibly be involved? I better click. Okay, so it turns out Steph Curry, who is a basketball player, that's right, he can throw a ball through a hoop, sometimes from very far away, and many people are very impressed with that. And then other times he just barrels through and knocks other men to the ground and throws the ball through the hoop from very close up. And then people are very impressed with that. So he's an extraordinary human being, obviously. Steph Curry was asked in an interview if appearing, he appeared at the Democrat convention, apparently. I missed that, but he was there. So, asked if appearing at the Democrat convention was a tough decision, Steph Curry said, no, it was actually an easy decision to appear. Now, he only appeared via video feed because nobody cared enough about the Democrat convention to actually show up, except whoever showed up for the free drinks and to sweep the floor afterward. But Steph did zoom in via video, and when asked about all that, he said it was fine. Asked why he says, now he, in his biography, he lists the very first characteristic about himself, that he is a believer first. He's a believer. Asked why, he says, first and foremost, he's a believer. He says, I put believer first because that is supposed to be the roots of everything that I do as a believer. Does Kamala Harris write this? What in the world? I mean, I know he's a basketball player, so that he's not like a Mensa member. He's not a towering figure of Western literature. Okay, Steph Curry. He's a basketball player. But he puts believer first because that is supposed to be the roots of everything I do as a believer. Oh, as a husband, as a father, and on down from there. That was according to another interview that's been listed in his biography since 2019. He's a believer because that's supposed to be the root of everything he does as a believer.
He
believes
what?
Well, he'll get to that. You're supposed to know. Oh, that was an interview he did with Fake Wire, otherwise known as Faith Wire. That's where fake Christians get to go on and act like they're Christians, and then Fake Wire puts it out to the news wire so that everyone thinks for 5 seconds that you're a Christian. And then every evangelical in America forever assumes Steph Curry is a strong Christian. Well, I read the article on Fake Wire. He said he's a believer. Because it's the root of everything he does as a believer. And he's a father. He mentioned he's a husband and a father. Curry goes on in his interview with Fake Wire. Faith, to me, is believing in the unseen and having a conviction that there is a higher power that has given me a purpose. I'm telling you, Kamala Harris wrote this for him. So for me, that is the foundation of how I live my life and how I want to see the world through that lens. So again, just a pile of words strewn together, and let's see. So that's his interview with Fake Wire back in 2019 that established his strong Christian credentials.
Where did he say he's Christian?
Well, I mean, it's Faith Wire. Faith right there, you're supposed to know.
Satan believes.
What? Satan believes in Jesus? Uh-huh. What? Satan and Steph Curry. So that 2019, Steph Curry establishes his impeccable Christian credentials there at Fake Wire. But then on CNBC this past week, asked about appearing at the Democrat convention and endorsing Kamala Harris for president, Steph said, I know what's at stake in this election. We need to be in a position where women have the right to choose what's right for them, and that's at the top of the list for me. That's the top of the list. If you can even figure out what he's saying, the top of the list seems to be protecting the right of mothers to murder their children at the behest of the child's father, which pretty much is what abortion is. Everyone thinks women are just frothing at the reins to murder their children. That's really not what it's about. It's mostly men who want to kill the child. And they coerce the woman into it. And it's women who've been lied to and told that they can do that and then go on with their life as if nothing had happened. They're all victims. They're all victims and perpetrators. There's no good guys. And Steph Curry's for that, continuing, because he's such a strong Christian. By the way, in a 2022 interview, Steph Curry's mother said that she almost aborted him. But then she didn't, and she's glad. So imagine that. And then I can't even read the, should I try to read the statement his mother makes? If you read the statement his mother makes, I mean, God bless her, she didn't murder her child. That's wonderful, but that's kind of a low bar. I mean, you didn't murder your child? That doesn't necessarily mean you're all that good, decent of a human being. It doesn't make you a strong Christian, that's for sure. And should I read it? Okay, I'm going to read the statement that his mother makes, and then maybe you'll get some idea, some insight as to where Steph derives his intellect. His mother said, "Here's this decision I made, and look at the blessing that he has become. I just say to God that it was meant to be. And to not carry judgment, you don't want to have to carry a lot of judgment forever. Give ourselves some grace in making the decision with what we had to make the decision with when we made it. My favorite scripture says that all things get worked together for the good and those called according to his purpose." Praise Jesus. There's Stephen. That's Steph Curry. There's Stephen, and look what he's doing. Okay, so obviously not another towering intellect. And did you notice in the middle of her almost taking credit for not murdering Steph Curry, did you notice in the middle of that, she inserted a forgiveness by her to other women who have killed their children? Did you notice that? That's right. She says, "You don't have to carry a lot of judgment forever. Give ourselves some grace in making the decision with what we had to make the decision with when we made it." I know it's hard to comprehend, but she's not obviously, again, not a towering figure of literature. But basically she's saying, I didn't kill Steph, but if you did kill yours, then don't carry around a bunch of judgment over it. You did the best you could with what you had. And so, and Steph Curry's mom, she thinks that's the Christian thing to do. Because the entire Christian world is, well, they're like her. They don't really understand the gospel, and they certainly don't know the Bible. I mean, I can appreciate the fact that she tried to quote the Bible. But, I mean, if you have a smartphone and you're going to quote the Bible and you're not sure, it's not that hard to look up the verse before you. So anyway, I think the verse she was going for was Romans chapter 8, I believe. Romans 8, 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose." So his purpose did not include murdering children. "And all things work together for good to them that love God." And so, anyway, what more is that's from the Bad Religion file? That's Steph Curry, who, for whatever reason, people look up to him as if he's someone. And I think that the folks over at Fake Wire bear some responsibility for that. And Steph Curry is not a Christian, and he should be warned that he's on his way straight to hell with jet rockets, and nobody's going to care that he can throw a ball through a hoop from 90 feet away or 120 feet or across the court or the top of the key or from out of bounds. Nobody's going to care. It's not going to make a bit of difference. So should I go on to one? I got so much from the Bad Religion file this week. It's as if there was a conspiracy of satanic forces in order to put bad religion in the news. But it turns out to be a good thing, because I'm going to warn you people about it. So I just warned all you suckers that you want all your favorite sports guys to be towering paragons of virtue and strong Christians. And Steph Curry's a fake, phony fake is what he is. And Donald Trump, now listen to this from the best, so for the rest of you there, but from the Bad Religion file, in an interview on Fox News, Donald Trump appeared last week on Life, Liberty, and Levin. That's right, Life, Liberty, and Levin. I had Donald Trump on. He's the president. He discussed how the failed assassination impacted his faith in God. And he had this conversation with Mark Levin, who doesn't know God. So you have two guys sitting down talking about a person they don't know. And all the evangelicals tune in. It's just embarrassing. Anyway, we have Mark Levin says, President Trump, you've been a man of faith. You've been a man of faith. You go to church. You believe in God. Has this furthered your belief, your commitment? Trump intervenes. Yes. I mean, obviously, God saved your life. Obviously, God saved your life. He has a purpose for you. And then Trump says, I think you'll believe more. Well, I think you believe more. When you speak to experts, shooting experts, they said there was no chance that he could have missed at that distance, says Trump. And so I don't know what experts Donald Trump is talking about, but no expert has ever said that. No one who knows how to shoot or has ever shot a rifle has ever said that there's no chance you could miss. Okay, now I don't call myself a shooting expert, but I actually got a medal for shooting, and it said I was an expert. Okay, and I didn't get that from one of Donald Trump's sons. I got it from the United States Marine Corps, and they know how to shoot, and they gave me a badge that said I was an expert, and I would never say that there's no chance you could miss. Okay. No, but Donald goes on after quoting his sons who shoot. I believe his sons shoot extremely large, slow-moving animals with high-powered rifles, and then they take pictures of themselves, which is just disgusting. But Don goes on regarding God saving him, that Mark Levin says, obviously, God saved you. So Trump goes on. He says, no, I think, if you believe in God, you believe in God more. I'd like to think that God thinks I'm going to straighten out the country. I don't know. A lot of people have said that, mostly me. I've said that to a lot of people, and it seems like a lot of people say that. But then I realize it's mostly me saying that. You know, Don, I think that after, by the way, getting shot at and walking away does change your perspective on things. It certainly does. And typically not good for a prideful man. But I think that Donald Trump... Well, let me speak to you directly, Don. I don't have Don's cell phone number. I can't call him up. But hopefully I get a message to Donnie. Donnie, I think you think God might believe in you more. Uh-huh. That's right. He might believe in you more. That's what you're thinking. And if so, maybe if God does believe in you more, Donnie, maybe God's getting closer to qualifying for you to believe in him. That's right. That's about what it's like. You might as well just be screaming like a banshee at it. Drive you crazy listening to these people. So God is very long suffering to put up with this. And so I would remind Donald Trump of Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Christ died for the ungodly. Listen up, Don. Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. But for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So anyway, that's my message to Donald Trump. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now I have more from the election. Well, before I get to the election, I want to address real quickly the Venezuelan gangster takeover of the apartment down there in Colorado. Now that more has come out about it, it's become a flashpoint between left and right. If you assume that the Venezuelan criminal, illegal, alien vandals, Visigoths, are actually taking over apartments, then you're a racist. And what's happening is migrants are being treated badly by slumlords, and it's the slumlords who are the bad guys, and it's the Venezuelan terrorists who are actually the innocent migrant families with dirty-faced children weeping in the hallways trying to get around the rats and the feces. And so it turns out that all of that is true. It turns out that one of the reasons the Venezuelan terrorist gangs have been able to take over the apartment complexes in Aurora, Colorado, is because they're slums, and the slumlords are slumlords. And so the slumlords, not really providing the proper level of care to their property, allows criminal elements to run rampant. And just the latest, most organized criminal element happens to be the Venezuelan terrorist gangs. And so there's just no good guys. I mean, the slumlord is, all right. Anyway, there was a report earlier that Arapahoe County Sheriff's deputies arrested Venezuelan terrorists in Denver for taking over apartment complexes. I don't know where. Maybe in Denver, not in Arapahoe County. Denver's not in Arapahoe County. So why are the Arapahoe County sheriffs? Who knows? It's because everyone in the Denver Sheriff's Department, no, Denver has the Denver Police, they're all gay. And they're all vaping at the disco. And so no one was available, so the Arapahoe County Sheriff's guys had to go out there. And then there's no word on whether the mayor of Aurora, Mike Kaufman, there's no word whether he's been arrested, but he should be. And there's no word whether the mayor of Denver has been arrested, but he should be also. I mean, maybe the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Department could perform a coup in Colorado and take out all these communists allowing this alien invasion. I mean, what's up with Mike Kaufman? Was you sleeping the whole time? I mean, we know that the mayor of Denver is an active participant in the invasion of illegals. We know that. He's a communist. I don't even know who he is. I know he's a communist. How do I know that? He's the mayor of Denver. He's a communist. But the mayor of Aurora, Mike Kaufman, he used to act like a conservative Republican. I mean, we always knew he was a phony baloney. So we need a sheriff somewhere in America to stand up and to turn this thing around and say, you know what? We're not going to tolerate this on the ground anymore. There's a rule of law, and I, as a sheriff, have sworn an oath, and I'm going to stand up and I'm going to execute my oath of office and protect my citizens. And the first order of business is to arrest everyone in Denver at the Capitol, for crying out loud. All right. Well, let's move on back. In fact, speaking of politicians who should be arrested, or who are going to be arrested. Yeah, Judge Merchan in the Trump trial there, the one about the money for the, I forget what this one was. I can't remember, but it was one of the fake phony baloney trials against the Donald Trump. Now he's going to sentence Trump after the election, but before the inauguration. And everyone thinks it's a big win. All the urinalists, they say it's a Trump won a big win, so it means he's going to be able to stand for election. But I think Merchan's sentencing of Trump is the deep state's ace in the hole. That's right. In the highly unlikely event that they're unable to rig and steal the election again, Merchan will throw Trump in jail before the inauguration. And then it'll be like daring MAGA to get Trump out of jail. No, he's going to set bail at $40 trillion. The only guy who'll be able to bail him out will be Vladimir Putin. They'll be daring Putin to bail him out of jail. All right, that's how ridiculous. So anyway, anyone who sends me stuff on the election, just stop, please. I don't care. It's a mildly entertaining clown performance at this point. very little impact on your life or mine. It just doesn't matter. Just stop it. It's probably bad for your blood pressure. More from the bad religion file, and we go to Donald Trump again. That's right. Noah from 100% Fed Up does a, he says President Trump had an interesting segment on his big Lex Fridman interview today. He talked about religion. I have a feeling a lot of you may agree with him. I know I do. That's Noah over at 100% Fed Up. Says he agrees with what I'm about to relay to you. This is Donald Trump as interviewed by Lex Fridman. President Trump said, quote, "Our country is missing a lot of religion. It really was such a better place with religion. It was almost a guide. You want to be good people. Without religion, there's no real guardrails. I'd love to see us get back to more religion in this country." Yes. So Trump says of religion, it was almost a guide. So meaning religion for Trump has always been almost a guide. So, forget Christianity. Forget actually walking by faith. For Trump, even religion is, it's almost a guide. Almost. And then he says, you want to be good people. And I agree with the sentiment that Donald Trump is expressing, that religion is good for satisfying that desire to be good, to think of yourself as good. And I think religion has maybe always been almost a guide for Donald Trump's behavior. It has always satisfied his desire to know that he's good. Religion has performed very well in that respect for Donald Trump. And then finally, what did he say here? Without religion, there's no real guardrails. And another truism in the world, without God, if you don't believe in God, then religion does provide reliable fleshly guardrails. Trump and the religious either don't know or are only familiar in passing with God, and so they need religion. Otherwise, what's going to keep them in line? I mean, they don't know God, so religion functions. Religion, as defined and practiced by Donald J. Trump, is the exercise of the flesh for the outward appearance and satisfaction of the fleshly conscience. And to get other people to say nice things about you, like you're a strong Christian and God saved you and all of that. But I would remind Donald J. Trump of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, not many wise after the flesh are called. And speaking of religion, I would point you, Mr. Trump, to Colossians 2:23. Religion has the show of wisdom in will worship, but is of no value against the flesh. Mr. Trump. All right. So that's our outreach. Some people go down to the mission district, you know, and wipe the vomit off the homeless. We reach out to Donald Trump. So probably have better luck with someone covered in their own vomit and feces in the street. Probably have more prospects for reaching that person for God than reaching Donald Trump. But we'll try. And so we should do the one without leaving the other undone. And so we'll have to get out there in the streets now and do some outreach as well, which we will do. Meanwhile, here on the show, we go to Venezuela, where the United States government seized Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's jet. That's right. America seized Maduro's jet. That's right. And a State Department mouthpiece is quoted, by the Daily Mail over in England, saying this sends a message all the way to the top. Uh-huh. It sure does. A CNN reporter says seizing the foreign head of state's plane is unheard of for criminal matters. Uh-huh. Yeah. What does it say? Seizing the foreign head of state's plane is unheard of for criminal matters, they added. I know it's a CNN reporter, but does that mean that the source is like gender fluid? They?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to read that, but anyway, they send this. They say they, whoever they are, him, her, he, it, they, sends a clear message here that no one is above the law. Agencies involved. Let's see. Homeland Security, Department of Justice, Department of Commerce, the Bureau of Industry and Security. What? The Bureau of Industry and Security? I never heard of this agency. What is that agency? Is this a new agency? Or has this agency always been there? Just funneling money out of the Treasury and into the belly of the beast somewhere. The Bureau of Industry and Security? Okay, so you got Homeland Security, you got the Department of Justice, the Department of Commerce, the Bureau of Industry. How many agencies does it take to screw in a light bulb? Well, fewer than it takes maybe to seize Maduro's aircraft, but maybe more. It kind of depends. The seizure comes after the controversial re-election of Maduro. The U.S. demanded that Maduro immediately release election data over concerns about the credibility of Maduro's election victory. That's right. They're election deniers over at the U.S. State Department. Next thing you know, they'll be asking for the data from the Smartmatic voting machines. They'll be wanting to interview Dominion executives. Anyway, let's see here. It could be, now it is possible, that there are just a few honest bureaucrats left in the State Department who want to draw attention to the election fraud taking place in broad daylight in Venezuela before a similar thing happens here in America. That's possible. There may be a few honest bureaucrats left, down deep, close to the bottom of the pile somewhere. They're almost suffocating to death. But more than likely, this is a prophylactic media effort, that's just showing the ruling elites, those are the people near the top of the pile of the cult, showing that they have a commitment to election integrity. That's right. That's what they want to project, a commitment to election integrity, and they might just want to introduce some chaos. And make Maduro mad so that maybe there'll be a little bit of terrorism a little closer to home right here in the Western Hemisphere, a little military action to draw away attention and muddy the waters as the preparations are made to steal the election in 2024. They might not need a big, giant, earth-shattering event like the COVID hoax panic hysteria. They may not need that. Because they already did that. And a lot of that infrastructure is already in place. Now they just need things to be fluid, shaky, and muddy, and a little blurry. That's all. Keep moving the shells around and keep everybody's head going back and forth. And when you wake up in the morning, Kamala Harris is the president. What are you going to do about it? Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That's when they knew it was time to just break up the band and just give it up when things deteriorated to that level.
Yeah,
I think they broke up after that. Let's see, we go then deeper into the Bad Religion file, believe it or not, if you didn't think we'd reach the bottom of that barrel. For that, we go to Russell Brand. That's right, he's another new Christian. He's been touted by all the evangelical media, are all of a flutter, a Twitter, about Russell Brand. Listen to this. Russell Brand, here's the headline. Russell Brand expresses regrets about not accepting Christ earlier. So just the fact that Russell Brand has been told to accept Christ, you can assume that he probably doesn't understand the gospel, because whoever's preaching it to him doesn't understand the gospel. Jesus Christ doesn't need to you to accept him. Jesus Christ is the Lord. And so you need to confess that. Don't accept it. Confess it. Because you have no choice but to accept it. It's a reality. So anyway, but let's not get into the theological weeds and the doctrinal weeds here. Let's just find out what's up with Russ. Now, if you, I'm not going to link to this because I don't link to anything anymore. But just look up Russell Brand on the Lord's Wisdom, I guess. Just it's easy to find. There's a video up on Rumble where Brand says, quote, "There are many other ways to receive the Lord's truth." Oh, he says he's been blown away by reading the Bible. Here's another guy in his 50s, cracks the Bible for the first time, and he's astonished to find out that almost everything he's ever heard about it is untrue, inaccurate, misunderstood, or misrepresented. God bless you, Russell. I'm glad you saw that. It's fairly obvious, and you're right about that. It blows your mind when you actually read it compared to what you heard. But in saying that the Bible is awesome, great, wonderful, incredible, it's been amazing, he says, "Now, I know there are many other ways to receive the Lord's truth and the Lord's wisdom." Wow. I know, and I stop Russ there and say, "Wait a sec, Russ, are you implying that there are other ways beside the Bible?" And I think you are. And the reason I think you are is because I think you believe that. Which means you have not accepted Christ, to put it in evangelical vernacular. Anyway, Russ, be careful. Because what you just said reveals that you're not yet able to depart from your pseudo-pagan, drug-induced system of religion that you had before you cracked the Bible open. And I assume you're doing that for fear of the judgment of men. Because for you to come out and say that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by him, that's a little harsh. Even to most evangelicals, they're very uncomfortable saying that. And they want to leave room, you know, for the Buddhists. They seem nice. You know, and the Hindus, I mean, what? They seem religious. So for the fear of judgment of men, maybe he has believed the gospel. Maybe he has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. He died for my sins. He rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Please help me. Please save me. Maybe Russell has done that in the privacy of his own mind. I hope so. But he's afraid to say it publicly. And I have to assume it's for the fear, it's for his career. Now, he's already shown courage in throwing off an extremely lucrative career for a merely very lucrative career, which is what he's done. So in rejecting the extremities of woke insanity, Russell Brand has thrown off the A-list celebrity career that he had going. And now he's just going to, instead of being a multi-millionaire, he's just going to be a millionaire, just a couple, maybe 3-4 times over. So he has shown some courage in that regard. But Russell, the Lord requires exclusive faith. And because you couldn't say it, I'm assuming you don't believe it. And if you do believe it, then don't say this. I'm going to assume, Russell, that you neither understand nor acknowledge the value of Christ's unique sacrifice for your sins. And if you don't understand the value of it, it's not going to work for you. It's not going to save you. You can't accept it until you acknowledge what it is. And it is preeminent, superior, and exclusive over all other religious systems, all of them. There is no other way to receive the Lord's truth and the Lord's wisdom except through the Bible, and there's no other way to salvation except the exclusive salvific work of Jesus Christ on the cross. There is no other way, Russell. don't imply there is, or I assume you're going straight to hell with jet rockets. And I give you the benefit of the doubt. I assume you're headed for eternal damnation, and I'm here to help you, Russ. So there's the straight-up gospel, Russell. Now you've heard it, so don't be afraid. All right. Meanwhile, from the widespread file, that's right, the World Economic Forum posted to their My Carbon page. They have a page called My Carbon, right? And it's all about their plan to rid the world of carbon and carbon dioxide and pencil leads and everything that they think is bad, or everything they've taught third graders to think is bad, everything they've terrified the children about, you can find on their My Carbon page. It's all about how they plan to enslave the world in a communist dictatorship based on climate hysteria. And they posted up there regarding the first of the three developments that the WEF says must be in place before the world can evolve into its utopian vision of smart and sustainable cities. That's what they're selling over there at the WEF. That's what we used to call them, gulags, but the WEF plans to call them smart and sustainable cities. They won't be like the gulags because all the kids will get a nonstop source and supply of drugs, entertainment, and pornography. So it won't seem like a gulag like back in the 50s when you were just laying face down in the frozen mud half the day. So it'll be different. It'll be a smart and sustainable city. But there are things that have to fall into place before the world is ready. And the folks over at the WEF posted one of those developments having come to fruition on their website last week. Number one, COVID-19 was the test of social responsibility. A huge number of unimaginable restrictions for public health were adopted by billions of citizens across the world. There were numerous examples globally of maintaining social distancing, wearing masks, mass vaccinations, and acceptance of contact tracing applications for public health, which, the WEF says, demonstrated the core of individual social responsibility. So, COVID-19 was the test, and we failed, which, according to the WEF, we passed. That's right. And the writers over at the Gateway Pundit go on to say COVID-19 proved once again the validity of the Milgram experiment. The Milgram experiment, conducted 1961 to 62 by Yale University professor Stanley Milgram. Look it up. It showed the overwhelming majority of people would obey a command that they knew was wrong if the order came from an official authority figure. And this is in 1961. 65% of the people would reluctantly violate their own conscience, even if they knew it would result in the death of an innocent person. And that was 60 years ago. And so this tendency to obey authority, by the way, this stems from the way God designed us. We are designed to need a leader and to obey authority. We are designed that way. So the default position of the human spirit is to obey the Father. That's how we were made. Now, that's all broken and messed up. But the fact that people tend to follow the instructions of the government, it's not necessarily a bad thing. The bad thing is when the command is known to be wrong, and you obey anyway. So that there's New Testament scriptures about that. That are we to obey God or men? And it seems like in the COVID... Now, they say it was a test here. And I don't think COVID was a test like they planned the test. I think they just took advantage of the situation and implemented things that they've wanted to do for quite a long time. And by they, I mean the criminally insane sex cult at the WEF, and who occupy the White House and the high halls of Congress, the criminally insane sex cult that seized the governments of the Western world in full, beginning around the middle 2010s, and then the final coup, the final shoe fell in 2020. So when I say they, that's who I mean. And I can list them by name. So, but anyway, so there you have it. And so, like I say, they might not need a giant earth-shattering event in order to steal the election, because the infrastructure's there. They just got to roll maybe a slightly different loop in front of the dazed and confused eyes of the masses. Meanwhile, from the widespread panic file, if that didn't scare you, listen to this. Kensington, New Hampshire, 54-year-old Joe Casey of Kensington has allegedly tested positive for 3 mosquito-borne viruses all at the same time. Ah, no! That's right. The 54-year-old Joe Casey. Now, the news article over here at Yahoo.com, the AP, they don't say he allegedly tested positive. They say he has tested positive for 3 mosquito-borne viruses: Eastern equine encephalitis, West Nile virus, and St. Louis encephalitis, which no one ever heard of, but we promise we're not making that one up. It's a third one, and it's scary. It's encephalitis, for crying out loud. The word itself is terrifying. So anyway, listen to this. In an interview, his sister-in-law said, quote, "He's my brother. It's very difficult, especially because it's from a mosquito." And I'm like, what? What do you mean it's difficult, especially because it's from a mosquito? I mean, what difference would it make unless you're lying? Unless the story's totally made up. I know. Is it crazy to assume that Joe Casey might not exist and that his sister-in-law, fighting back tears as she's interviewed, say it's very difficult, especially because it's from a mosquito? Oh. Is it possible they don't even exist, that this is all made up? 5 years ago, I would have said you're crazy to even think that. Now I'm not so sure. Anyway, we need someone to determine whether or not this fellow actually exists. And don't call Exeter Hospital, where he's allegedly languishing at death's door, because so, does Exeter Hospital even exist anymore? Check with some of my friends in the Boston area and find out if that, or New England, wherever this hospital is. I'm sure the hospital exists, right? There has to be an element of some truth. So anyway, by the way, this news article was carried by every single cult organ in the media. I mean, every news outlet. I'm sorry. This story appeared on every wire service, every website, everywhere you look, this story was. If you didn't see this story, it's because you were in a coma last week.
Yeah, I was.
You didn't see it?
I don't know.
She doesn't watch the news. This is it. This is all the news you get all week.
Great.
This is why she has such a biased worldview. By the way, Mr. Casey, who allegedly has the 3 virus cocktail, he has a wife, Kim, and 4 children. And they've set up an online fundraising page, and they're thankful for the outpouring of support since their story was picked up by every wire service on the planet. And then we're reminded at the end of the story that last week, 41-year-old Stephen Perry of Hampstead, New Hampshire, died from Eastern equine encephalitis. So, that's right, and some New Englanders are actually locking down voluntarily. Mayors and police chiefs are climbing under their houses and nailing boards up and locking themselves down and encouraging their neighbors to do this. And they're even boarding up some polling sites preemptively to protect where they count the ballots from the equine encephalitis, Eastern equine encephalitis. That's right. We'll have prophylactic protections in place at polling stations to make sure no one gets sick. We'll board up the windows. In fact, we're just going to take all the counting of the ballots down into the basement of the sheriff that's already been boarded up for security purposes. All right, finally, I don't know if this will be the last story, but it might be. This is from the Straight to Hell file, where the headline screams, Netflix documentary on Will Ferrell's trans best friend. Uh-huh. A documentary featuring actor Will Ferrell taking a road trip with his, quote, best friend, unquote, who is, quote, transitioning, unquote, to a woman. Yeah. Now, the Breitbart writer, Warner Todd Houston, he did put both phrases in quotes. Best friend was in quotes. Transitioning was in quotes. So that's good writing. Maybe Werner Todd didn't go to journalism school. I'm not sure. But that was good. So this is, by the way, the fact that Will Ferrell has a career, number one. But second, that he has a headline-grabbing Netflix documentary coming out. This is more evidence that Saturday Night Live producer Lorne Michaels is the current incarnation of the Antichrist. That's right. This story knocked record producer David Geffen out of the top spot as the current incarnation of the Antichrist on all the betting sites, and at least for the time being. Lorne Michaels, again, firmly holds top suspicion as the physical embodiment of the Antichrist. And one of his minions, former Saturday Night Live head writer Harper Steele, who is a guy, he's allegedly transitioning. And so Will Ferrell says, let's do a special where we'll drive around the country while you shoot yourself up with hormones and put on wigs and makeup and dresses and stuff, and we'll make a TV show out of it. Because, hey, I work for the Antichrist. It'll probably sell. Yeah, no, Will claims they during the show they will renew and realign their 30-year friendship amid Harper's transgenderism. Ferrell said in an interview, it will give us a chance to reconnect. Okay, I wouldn't put it that way, Will, but Will Ferrell... So perhaps he's trying to vie for consideration as the current incarnation of the Antichrist. But this production, along with his entire body of work, indicates that he simply doesn't have the talent or the intelligence or the wit or the depth or any to actually be the Antichrist, Will. You wouldn't even qualify for that. He barely qualifies as a lounge act in hell. If Will Ferrell were to get a gig in hell, it would be in the waiting room. He'd just be turning on a spit, but he would be given no lines. Yes. And refer if you like, by the way. Please, Mr. Ferrell. And Lorne Michaels and David Geffen would refer you back again to Romans 5. While we were yet sinners, God sent his son to die for Will Ferrell's sins. And Lorne Michaels. And David Geffen. There's hope for all of them. And there, we've put the gospel out for them. Yes, we mock them. Yes, we ridicule them in hopes of getting their attention and knowing that someone is offended by them. And that there's hope in Jesus Christ. If there's a scintilla of conscience left in the hearts of any of them, we appeal to that. And let them know the gospel. And that's it for this week on the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio. I want to thank you for tuning in. And should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.